I am an integration of the human and the divine. And really, I truly believe that that's the next step, the next level, as we sort of love our humanity and begin to integrate it in our divinity.
Welcome to the Ecstatic Women Podcast. Together, along with some amazing guests, we'll explore and tap into our inner wisdom and have meaningful conversations about developing our ability to self-discover, create, and be present in the world, while also uncovering new ways to think, feel, and cultivate our sense of empowerment so we can live our lives ecstatically. Now let's welcome our host, Alara Sage.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Ecstatic Woman Podcast. I'm your host, Alara Sage, the Ecstatic Life Mentor. Ecstatics, it can be kind of interesting to be human, is that not correct? No matter where you are on your spiritual journey, you may often feel that being human can be complex. Being human can be confusing at times. And even more so as we move through our spiritual journey and connect more and more to our divinity, more and more to the wholeness of who we truly are, sometimes we can not be certain of how to balance the fullness of the self with the human experience. So today, I am so ecstatic to bring you our guest, Sarah Asher Rose. Sarah is a trans channel medium, I believe, who uses her own unique approach for healing that she calls light codes. And Sarah has this feeling, you know, that humans are stepping into being superhuman and that there's a lot of these humans out there that have a mission, a purpose. It's very dear to their hearts, but maybe they're struggling with fears, lack of self-worth, limiting beliefs. And Sarah is here to assist them. She creates activations and meditations with her light codes and with her healing energy and presence to help these people step into their power and step into their superhumanness. Yay! So let's all welcome with our hearts and our wombs, Sarah Asher Rose. Sarah, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, beautiful. I'm so happy to be here.
Sarah, when we talk about superhuman, I just love that word so much. And can you define what superhuman means to you?
Yes, absolutely. So that word came in maybe a couple of months ago, superhuman. And when it came in, it was there was this feeling behind it. And it was almost this feeling of wanting more to connect with the piece of us that is more, and that there are beings here, including myself, including you, that want to explore that part of us that is the more, that's more than just our identity, right? That's more than just society telling us what we should be or what we should do. The part of us that wants to seek more, really connect to our divinity, right? I'm more than just human. I'm superhuman. I am an integration of the human and the divine. And really, I truly believe that that's the next step, the next level, as we sort of love our humanity and begin to integrate it in our divinity. And for people who are awakening, I love how you said it can be confusing, because absolutely, how do you navigate that, right? How do you navigate the complexities of human emotion while, you know, experiencing, having divine experiences without feeling like you're, you know, losing your mind, so to speak. You know, it can be confusing, especially for people who don't have a community or someone to guide them through that. Like myself, you know, I didn't really have that. I had that, but didn't. And that's why I love to talk about it and help people maybe who are experiencing that and how to make sense and how to embrace their superhuman self and integrate it into their daily life and use spirituality as a tool in a grounded way, right? If that all makes sense.
Yes. You know, when I had my awakening and the more I went into it, I remember I felt like I was kind of living two lives, right? There was this space that I would go into in meditation that was very blissful and ecstatic and very expansive. And then there was my humanness, yes, right? And it felt at some point very separate, and I had to learn how to integrate the two of them.
Yeah.
What has been your experience with this? I know we spoke a little bit about this when we first connected.
Yes, absolutely. I was remembering our conversation. We had much in common with that. Yeah, you mentioned that sadness, right? So when I started awakening, I would call it like a remembering or a recall, maybe about 10 or 11 years ago, that was brought on oftentimes as they are, right? That low in our life when we start searching for more and who we are. And then we kind of open up and have this larger awakening. And I went through that. And, you know, my channeling gifts came in, my light language gifts came in. But while this exciting thing was unfolding, I did experience sadness and grief and loss on many levels. So as you said, you know, you reach this bliss. So it's a feeling of climbing the dimensions and this heightened sense of, wow, this is love. This is like truly who I am. And then there would be almost this period of like crashing down into the third dimension and it being very like, oh, like now I have to drive home and go back to my life, you know? And it took me a while to kind of navigate through that. And I had a friend, I remember this always stands out, and she said, you know, ask for, you know, someone to catch you, you know, make it soft, make the landing soft so that when you come back, you're coming back to your life in a soft way where it doesn't feel so harsh as you're coming back. But yeah, integration, absolutely. And how do I make sense of this in my life? And all of the loss, I'm sure you must have experienced too. You know, when you awaken that part of yourself, you lose friends, you lose identity. There is loss. And but it obviously it's for the best, right? But it can be kind of not what you think a spiritual awakening is, right?
Yeah, I've had so many times where, you know, through the process of, as you call, remembering, recalling, unfolding, right? There's, it's like you know that you're no longer the person you were just a minute ago or yesterday. And yet you're like, but who am I, right? Like, I know I'm not that person anymore. And I don't yet know, wow, who this new version of me is, what this means, how do I even go about living this new version of my life? And I love how you say integrating, right, in a really grounded manner. Can you bring some examples of that to the audience about how you kind of integrate this new version of you, these new rememberings, right, these new skills, these new tools, these all this new energy into human life?
Yeah, I mean, that's such a great, important conversation to have. And I think that people need to talk about it more. Like, how do we, you know, this concept that we are not just physical beings, we're spiritual beings having a physical experience, right? There's a great video by Rainn Wilson, the guy who played Dwight on The Office. And he talks about that, and I love it. You know, I think community is really so important, to have a place where you can have teachers, have people who, like us, who have gone through that, who can share, you know, the ego death that we went through. And what does that mean? And, you know, application. I can do this in my life. I can meditate. I can say an affirmation. I can talk about my experiences. Because I've noticed, maybe you have too, that when I first started entering the spiritual world, there was a lot of imbalance, like a lot of people who sought spirituality out because of a trauma or a wound. And then there was a lot of escapism in it, like kind of like going off into this place of like the stars and just not coming back. And I probably went through that too, you know? But I think as I started to develop more and have more of a, like a knowing, I started to realize that the more grounded I could be, actually the more connected I could be. Whereas I used to think, no, like the more out there, that's the more connected, right? But then as you start to spiritually develop, you realize, no, like I have to heal my lower chakras. I have to heal my survival issues. I have to be balanced in my heart. That's how I can live a more joyful life, not by escaping, right? So I hope that makes sense, like, if that's helpful, is kind of understanding maybe how to be more balanced in your spiritual journey or seeking your spiritual truth. To, yes, have those experiences, but then to ground them out in your daily life. You know, am I generally happy? So I know a lot of spiritual people, they have these amazing experiences, but they don't function in a happy whole way. They're not happy people, right? So isn't the whole point to live like a joyous life, right, in the now moment? So I'd say balance and, you know, if that all makes sense.
Yeah, I definitely experienced escapism, and longest time I didn't, you know, even realize that's what I was doing.
Yes.
Because I was learning how to even connect to those, you know, dimensions of self and those spaces. And in the moment, I was really breathing it into my body. And then, you know, however, as I mentioned, I kind of felt like I was living these two lives, yes. Even though I was highly integrated spiritually, like I didn't have a 9-to-5 job. I was living, yes. You know, my spirituality 100%. I still felt kind of like what you said, like, okay, well, where's the joy, right? If where is the love? Where is all of these energies that I feel in my meditation? Yes. Where is it in my physical? Yes. And for me, it had a lot to do with my judgment of my human self.
Wow, yeah.
You know, I was like, I don't want to be human. I want to just go back to where I had a lot of real deep pain that I hadn't realized about coming into this human form and not really understanding why am I here. Have you experienced anything like
that? Yeah, absolutely. I resonate with everything you're saying about the judgment, especially, and guilt, feelings of like guilt and shame and a lot of old ancestral clearing that needed to be done, right? All the human stuff. And Joe Dispenza said something in a podcast interview. He said, you know, it's one thing, right, like you said, to experience those highs in meditation, but can you take that with you the rest of your day? Like you said, can you take that and can you be aware, you know, can you catch yourself in awareness? And I think awareness is the key to it all, because we can always do clearing, right? You don't have to be perfect. And I used to think in my head, I need to solve everything and like, you know, like be this perfect being. But then I realized like, I already am perfect, right? It's just having the awareness to clear things as they come up. If I feel guilt coming on, identifying, okay, this doesn't belong to me, right? If I have a negative thought, this is the collective, or this is old, this is an old pattern, I think I'm able to clear it as I go along so I can integrate every day. And just being an avid seeker of the truth, always trying to find tools and techniques that will allow me to do that, whether it's like affirmations or, you know, something like reminders, because I think as humans, we tend to be very forgetful. You know, like 1 minute I'm like, I'm this divine being. And the next minute I'm like, I hate my life. Right? It's like you said, duality. It's that duality that, oh my God, like forgive myself for my duality because I came here to experience that. Right. So it can be quite a roller coaster ride sometimes. Right.
I think the reminder part is huge because just as you said, we tend to forget. I found that I was always putting reminders on my phone, little, you know, they were just alarms that would go off. And when that alarm went off, it was like, remember, you know, remember to breathe into your body. Remember who you truly yes. are. And by setting those reminders constantly throughout the day, it started to integrate, you know, more and more.
Yeah, I do post-its.
But just as you said, I had a lot of shame around, you know, who I was as a human. And so having to heal that shame so that I could really like love the human and see myself as perfection, even in my, you know, failures yes. and even in my mistakes and even in my blunders.
Yes. Yeah. The judgments, all the judgments we put on ourselves, right? That blocks abundance, that blocks divine experience, right? Because like I said, we came here to have a human experience. So why the heck are we judging ourselves for it? It's like, you know, nobody else is judging us but us. It's, you know, so reminders, yes, post-its I put everywhere and my mirror, you know, but yeah, it is sometimes a constant roller coaster ride. And I also think too, what's coming to mind now is as an empath, like we didn't really discuss that yet, you know, you can pick up on so much, right? And think it's yours and take it on as yours. And then one day be like, well, wait a minute, maybe all this isn't mine, you know, right? Maybe these are old ancestral things. Maybe I'm picking up on the collective, you know, from the moment we wake up in the morning and go to bed, we are satellite dishes. So how do we counteract that? Like what are we putting into place that protects us from that or gives us the awareness that, ooh, this is a collective thought or, ooh, this is not me and my power or, ooh, you know what I'm saying? I think that's really important. That's something that I've come to realize for myself, you know?
Yeah. It's so interesting that we judge our process as humans because we're here to literally create an experience. And part of that experiencing is making mistakes.
Yes,
that is how
absolutely.
We learn.
Yeah.
But man, if we don't just judge ourselves and criticize and expect this perfection, but you don't learn when you just go through everything perfectly. You don't have that opportunity to understand, you know, where you made a mistake or how to do better or what is more in alignment, right? What is more truthful? So it's so interesting to me. So you talked about community, right, as being one of the ways in which we can ground ourselves into the human experience. What are some other tools very specifically that you have used for yourself to balance your divinity with your humanity?
Yeah, I think forgiveness, right? You know, the Ho'oponopono, right? That's a great one. Forgive myself, you know, and also there's this philosophy called access consciousness. I'm not sure if you've heard of it, but one of the things that I learned from that practice was be willing to receive everything, right? Like everything, all of it, you know, because like you said, with failure, there's success. There's always a dual. There's always an opposite, right? So always be willing. And my guides have always shared that with me too, you know, be willing to receive everything and accept you know nothing, you know, just be, be willing, be open. And I think also asking the universe questions has really helped me because when you ask questions, this is a great tool. When you ask questions, you create expansion, right? Because when you judge, you're saying, I know everything. And you close the window on the opportunity, right? How can I show up in the world today as the greatness that I am? Like something like that, right? Like I'll journal in the morning, you know, how can I be true to the light of oneness within me? Or whatever comes up. How can I be willing to perceive and receive and know everything I need to know today? Like another great one is, what is good about this that I can't see? I love that one. Like, when you're judging yourself for being, oh, I'm a failure and this is terrible, like, show me, universe. Show me what's good about this I can't see. Another great one is, how does it get better than this? Show me. I love that one, too. And those, you know, those questions I've written on post-its, you know, to remind myself. But I'm an avid learner and student of life, and I'm always reading and digesting information. So I'm always trying to take little tidbits from everything that I read and just use it in my daily practice. So having some kind of a practice, I think, is so important, right? Don't you think? Like at least in the morning. And I think a lot of people don't. They're just kind of like getting by on fumes. It's like, you know, so I think it's important to have time to have sacred connection to spirit. 10 minutes of quiet, 10 minutes of asking questions, something. These are all things that have really helped me in grounding out my humanity. Just, you know, creating those moments for myself I know we gave a lot.
I love the questions because I'm a big question asker as well. It's one of my favorite things to do. When I ask questions, I just throw the question out there and I wait for the communication with the universe, right? The different ways in which the universe brings us the information and the different forms. And it's always so delightful to me how the question is answered, right? Like, oh, I didn't expect it from that form, or oh, there it is. And then, you know, really receiving the answer is really delightful to me because I try to do it from the most just aligned state of curiosity as possible without any expectation of what the answer is going to be. And so receiving that answer, sometimes you're like, okay, yes. And then other times you're like, whoa, okay, mind blown.
Yes, I love that. You make such a great point. That's so true. It comes in unexpected ways if you're willing to receive it that way. I love that. I love how it comes too when you ask for a sign, especially. And sometimes I'll be very specific with the sign and be like, there's no way they're going to give it to me like this, you know, and it'll come. But you have to, right? The whole point is to be open to how it comes, because there's a story, I forget exactly how it goes, but somebody's on top of a roof and they're like, God, save me. And they're expecting like one particular way for it to come. And God's bringing them like boats and this and that. And they're just, they're focused on one and they're missing all of it, right? I'm probably messing up the story, but you know what I'm trying to say? It's like, if you're just focusing on that, then you're missing out on all, the universe is always helping you, right? It's like that expression, God is always bringing you angels or whatever, you know?
Absolutely. And I love the question you said. I'm going to paraphrase completely here, but something along the lines of, show me what I'm not seeing about the situation. Because just as you're saying, yeah, like, help me, support me, I need help. And then we're expecting it to come in one channel and it's being offered to us in so many different ways. And oftentimes it's coming through the exact thing that we are rejecting or resisting or saying, this sucks.
Yes.
I don't want this in my life right now.
Yes.
Meanwhile, that's actually where the gift is.
True. Yeah.
And we're not willing to just like, okay, let me really allow this into my life and understand it. So I loved that question that you brought through. And I also love the journaling. That was something I've done most of my life. I don't do it anymore, but I feel like that's a really great tool for the audience because, yes, I really enjoy just throwing the question out there, but not everybody can do that or feels comfortable doing that. And so oftentimes journaling is a great way to access information and even our higher selves to channel, right? I really started channeling by writing. That was my first technique. Has that been your experience
Absolutely.
With journaling as well?
Yeah, one of my favorite things to do is channel and write. You know, it's such a beautiful experience. I think maybe some people have a hard time with letting go of the mind when it comes to that. You know, for me, it's always been very easy to connect when I have the pen in my hand because it's an extension of my heart. You know, I feel like it's just very easy. Also, I think because I'm an artist, it's just very easy, and a writer, it's very easy for me to connect that way. But I love that you said sometimes it's hard for people to just throw it out and they need, yeah, journaling can be, even just to write a question and then just let go of wanting to get an answer. I always tell people if I'm teaching spiritual development or something like that, it can come through and something you don't expect. So just start writing, you know, without the intention of what it should be. And just allow it to come through you. That's essentially what channeling is, right? It's just removing yourself out of the picture and allowing that to come through, which can be challenging for some people, you know? But I love that practice of writing. I do it every morning, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, and I feel another thing that you mentioned was having a daily practice. I want to emphasize that because I've had a daily practice for years. You know, when I first started this process, I mean, when I look back, I started the process much, much longer ago than I thought I did, right? I'm sure you've had the same thing. Like, I was doing a lot of things a long time ago that were leading me up. But at the point that I was actually consciously doing a practice, you know, since then, I have always had a practice. And, you know, for me, it's usually getting up in the morning, and I used to get kicked out of bed at 3 a.m. My higher self would just wake me up and get out of bed, go sit and meditate, because it was such a, you know, a powerful time of the day. And I would do it. It was so transformational. I'm so grateful that I did it, because it was much easier at that time of the day. Now I don't need to do that. But those moments of giving myself that time, you know, I had young children. My boys at that time were like 2 and 1 or something like that. And so it was so imperative. Like, yeah, I was tired and I wanted to sleep more. And I knew how important it was. So I would force myself to get up. And it was kind of good that the exhaustion would kind of help, because it would calm the mind and I would go into meditation very easily, you know, and just insisting that this is important to me, you know, and regardless of whether it's 5 minutes, you know, I've meditated for hours on end, but for each individual, we have to determine what that is for us. And even if it's 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day, that practice in the morning, I'm a firm believer of that.
Yeah, I love how you said, like, you just kind of like force yourself to do it, because when you show up for spirit shows up for you. You know, like, you set an appointment. This is true. I used to have a mediumship teacher, and she would say, like, set your boundaries for spirit, set your guidelines, because like you said, 3 or 4 a.m. can be that time when you're bombarded by spirit. And sometimes maybe you want to say, okay, between the hours of this and this, you know. But I think if you make an appointment, whether it's 5 minutes or 10 minutes, you're cueing to the universe, bring me, I'm ready. Right? The same thing with the gym. You make an appointment, go to the gym. You're committing to yourself. I'm doing this for myself, even if, because every day is different. Maybe I only work out for 5 minutes one day. Maybe I work out for an hour. And the next, the same thing with meditate. There are times where I don't need to meditate. I just sit down. I'm like, boom. There are other times where I need to sit there for an hour and just to, like, my mind is so distracted, right? So I think just as long as you are committing to yourself, I think that's what it is, right? Making a commitment to yourself and saying, hey, universe, my phone line is, you know, I'm plugged in, I'm waiting, right? You know?
I love so much how you mentioned that about, yeah, some days you go and it's 5 minutes, other days you go and it's an hour. Same exact with me. And it's not about having a checklist. It's not about, you know, I did it. It's about showing up in devotion. Here I am. What's available to me? Okay, today it wasn't. Today, wow, that was incredible. And knowing that it's going to change, knowing that you're going to have insane days, just like working out, just like anything. And other days you're going to be like, okay, I'm hardly even mentally available. But guess what? I showed up, right? Here I am.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. And releasing the expectation of having to always be. Yeah, sometimes I'm like, wait, how come yesterday was so clear and today, I where are you? Hello, you know, just releasing that expectation, because there's so much that's going on maybe that we don't even realize energetically in the cosmos and in the, you know, collective frequency. There are some times where I'm like, whoa, like, what is going on? I'm so clear today, and I'll call a friend and my friend will be like, me too. Right? Does that ever happen to you where you're like, oh my God, you know? Are there other times I'm so tired and I can't even, you know, it's a lot going on that we can't even conceptually understand, you know? And spirit can meet us where we're at sometimes too. You can ask your guides, you know, can you come down to where I'm at today? You know, you know, just ask, always ask, right?
That was a toughie for me, I think that's another thing we forget, is just to ask, right? To ask for help, ask for guidance, ask, just as you said, okay, meet me here today. This is as far as I can show up. meet me here.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, I don't know, for those of you who are clairaudient, like, you can hear a spirit. Sometimes I'll actually hear and I'll be like, oh my God, like, did I really hear that? And it blows me away. And other times I can't hear anything, you know, it's like crickets, you know? So it definitely is, like, you mentioned the word devotion, and I love that word, like, being devoted to something. We all need that, right? We all need to be devoted to something. It makes us feel alive. It gives us purpose to be. And, you know, maybe meditation is not something you're devoted to, but maybe it's something that you just give your attention to, just to show up for a walk. Doesn't even have to be sitting in Om, right? You know, going into the forest or doing something that feels good, I think, is the whole point. Like Abraham always says that, right? Because that's what changes your energetic signature. Doing something that feels good. That it can just be going for a walk. It doesn't have to be a crazy long meditation, right?
So important. I mean, some people, I'm getting images, you know, maybe doodling is a way for you to connect in, right? Maybe listening to sound, maybe, as you said, going for a walk, maybe dancing.
Yes,
and movement.
Oh my gosh,
there's so
huge.
Many different ways.
Yeah, dancing. I love to go, it's summer for us here, and I go in the pool and I put on 90s music and I just dance, and it's like, it's just, I don't have a purpose. It's just fun. That's it. And I think sometimes I forget to have fun. You know, I think we all do, especially, you know, with my work and helping people. And I get in this place of wait, just have fun today. You don't need to do anything other than that. It's okay to just have fun sometimes, right? You know, it's important. In fact, I think that we maybe sometimes, at least I know I do, take myself too seriously. And my guides will tell me that. You know, they can be really funny. You know, it surprises me how funny they can be. You know?
Yeah, spirit is hilarious.
Yes, right?
Yeah, and I really agree with, you know, releasing expectation and understanding. I mean, for one, we are cyclical beings. Sometimes we're very, very high energy, you know, very in our Shakti, our creative life force energy. Other times we're ebb. Just as you said, there's a lot that happens planetarily. Sometimes there's a lot of mental energy. Sometimes the veil is very thin. It's always, the one guarantee is always shifting and changing, always shifting and changing, right? And it's so important when we're learning to further cultivate our relationship with the universe, with spirit, with ourself, with our superhuman self, is that we're always letting go of that expectation. I know for me, it was like I would have these really powerful experiences, and then, you know, you just want to grab onto it. Your ego does.
Yes,
your ego wants to grab onto
yes.
it. Okay, where is it?
Yes,
show up,
yes.
right? And then, what do you mean it's not here? What, did I not do it right? And you immediately go back into that judgment, right? So doing the best to just show up with that curiosity of who knows what's going to happen today? Who knows what's going to show up? And again, I love how we're speaking to devotion, and I love your comment about not having a purpose, right? Like going and dancing because it feels good, going and writing because it feels good, going and playing, and just using that as the avenue to open your energy centers and your channels
yes,
and yourself,
absolutely.
Right?
Yes, joy. Yeah, the angels and fairies always talking about joy. Have fun. The inner child, right? The experience of creativity, just doing something because it feels good. I love how you talked about cycles too. I was just looking up the moon cycles today, just out of curiosity, you know, where are we in the moon cycles? And I was reading about the first quarter moon, how, you know, when we're in the period of waxing and we're experiencing more light with the moon, it's a good time for manifestation. And just, you know, just learning about the cycles of the moon, it really helps us understand ourselves. You know, oh, like this is why I feel like this, right? Because I think that humanity has become very separated from the cycles of nature. And sometimes it's a detriment because we feel so disconnected. But when you can connect yourself to a cycle like the moon or like the ocean or like the, you know, the seasons, it's like, oh, it gives me a better understanding of why maybe I feel so creative or why maybe I feel so like cocooning right now. Or like, you know, I don't always have to be performing. I don't always have to be on social media sharing, right? Like I can be not on my phone for a couple of days, like out in the woods somewhere and disconnect and not feel like I have to help people, right? I can be in these different cycles. And I think, you know, as an artist too, it's hard to always be a creative genius, right? We're not always supposed to be. It's a really good conversation. I forget sometimes how important the cycles are and all of that. You know, to follow that, follow the moon cycles and all of that.
I think it also builds trust because, just as you said, we're not meant to be. I always teach we're just not meant to be in flow all the time. We are meant to flow and to ebb and to flow and to ebb. And the more that we learn that and connect with it, the more we realize, oh, This is just a state of being, right? It's just a, and the next state of being will come. And then what we get to do is we get to honor what we are really in. If that is cocooning, if that is feeling just tired and exhausted, like, oh, just going to give in to myself completely and just really honor what I need right now, because I know that, you know, the flow is coming or the ecstasy is coming, whatever that is, it builds that trust with our cycles. And then in my experience, we really get to get the full value of our cyclical selves.
Yes, like a restorative period. Like giving yourself, I was reading a book where they talked about how like important that was, especially for entrepreneurs and people who are always like, you know, that you need at least 2 restorative days just to be like, just to, and even maybe having restorative months, right? Like maybe for 3 months I was very active and I was, right, maybe now I'm going to take 2 months and be more restorative, and maybe looking at your life like that. Because you need to, like you said, have that restoration so you can build up, right? You can refuel, you can build up, because we can't. If that's how we end up sick, right? Or depleted or drained, which I, believe me, you know, I've done that to myself, like give, you know? So especially for healers, I think that's true. People who are watching who are healers can resonate that with that probably, right? It's a great conversation to have, I think.
Yeah, and you know, nature is cyclical and we are of nature. So it's interesting that we would presume that we can, you know, kind of come out, not be cyclical. And I think in our superhumanness, we actually become more cyclical. We become more connected to her rhythms, Gaia's rhythms, nature's rhythms, the rhythms of the stars and of the planets. And even though we are superhuman in that sense of like really connecting to our power and our genius and our love and our creativity, I find the more, you know, superhuman I become, the more cyclical I am.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. Because your senses are becoming more heightened and aware. You're becoming more connected to the universal life source of energy that's in everything. And you can feel that it connects everything. There's a meditation, I don't know if you know Wayne Dyer, he's one of my favorites. I listen to at night and he says, you know, I am part of the meadow, the grass, and he's just, and I the same intelligence that created that created me. And I am part of all of those things. And I listen to it every night before I go to bed to like reprogram my subconscious. Like I am not separate from anything. I am connected to everything and everything. Like this too shall pass. Energy is always moving, right? Like this is so fleeting. Whatever your experience, it's just temporary. The only thing, like you said, I think you said, the only thing that's a constant is change, right? Is movement. And when you, I think that's really comforting to me, especially when I'm in those darker places, right? Like, oh, this is just temporary, you know?
Absolutely. And at the same time that it can be, you know, scary or just concerning because we don't know what's next. But when we are really in that ownership of like looking back at our life, you know, when has my life ever been the same all the time? Like your whole life has always been change and movement. And look, you managed, you did it. You are still here. You are working through all of it. And sometimes we have to take that moment to look back and remind ourselves, yeah, hello, how long have I been doing this? You know, like it's going to continue and I've already been doing it. I already know how to move through change. We're such flexible beings,
yes,
you know, like adaptable. We're incredibly adaptable.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I love that. I love what you just said, like reminding yourself. There was this practice that I read, like your 3 big wins of the day, like before you go to bed. You know, like even reflecting on my 3 big wins of the past 3 years, like reminding, like again, I had big wins today and what are my big wins going to be tomorrow? And because that's focusing, that's more of a gratitude energy, right? That's you're focusing on what you're having instead of the human tendency to focus on what we don't have, right? It's always like, what's missing? What's missing? What am I not doing? What am I not doing? Well, let me refocus on what is whole already, right? Like, how can I bring wholeness to my day already? Because that's a different vibration. I'm not operating from lack, right? Because if I believe in the law of attraction, then I'm going to bring more lack when I'm focused on that, right? So what is already good? That's why that question, what is good about this, I can't see, because you're operating from that place of like gratitude, like wholeness, like there's something right about this. I might not see it yet, right? But I know that it's there. And I haven't always been able to be in those places, right? That's a discipline. That's an awareness. And that takes practice, right? You know, to be there.
It's such a great question. What is good about this?
I know, I love that.
Cannot yet see, yeah. Because like I said, our greatest challenges bring our greatest gifts. But oftentimes in the moment, we're just, you know, we're just with the challenge. We can't see the wisdom. We can't see beauty. Has been so many times where, you know, my higher self has given me this very intricate explanation of how the orchestration occurred, you know, and it is so incredibly beautiful. Like when I'm shown it, I'm like, wow, that is so beautiful. How, yes, that challenge and that challenge and this challenge, and look what it all brought you, all these beautiful gifts and this awareness and this wisdom. And it makes you, yeah, connect deeper into that. But we don't always have spirit showing us that. So sometimes it does have to come from within. And it's not even about having the answer, is it? Like, what is it that I can't see? Okay, maybe you don't have the answer. Just to even know.
No, it's just the, asking that question feels good, right? It's not the answer. It's not. It's just the ability to ask that question without being wanting an answer, I think, absolutely. And you're right. Like, when you can see it from that place, it's beautiful. In the moment, it's hard. It also reminds me, too, when I used to channel a lot in groups, people would say, like, I'm confused. And you know, the beings would be like, good. They would laugh and say, I'm good. That's good. And people would be like, what do you mean that's good? And they'd be like, when you're confused, you're in a state of rebirth. If you know it all, there's no room for more. Be confused. They're like, oh, God. You know, people are like, I don't like hearing that. You know, our egos don't like hearing that. We want to know. I have that, you know, I want to know sometimes. But I think having the spiritual awareness gives our humanity good foundation. Because even though we're like, I want to know, we still understand that not knowing, sometimes surrendering is more powerful and beautiful, because there's so much more possibility, right? When we don't know, it's like a blank canvas, right? It's also scary, though, like you said. It can be, right? If you don't have that spiritual backbone, I always say, I thank goodness for my spiritual awareness. Because if I didn't have it, I think life would be a scarier place, honestly. I really do. I think it serves us well to have that. I look at people who sometimes don't have that faith and I'm like, oh, it must be harder, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'm constantly given insights and information and, you know, guidance by my spiritual connection. And I've always had it to some level, but obviously I've cultivated it more. And same thing, I think, geez, you know, I'm super grateful to have this. And I hope that the listeners can hear us in the context of, you know, I believe that everybody has it. And we all have some level of intuition and inner guidance. And even if you're like, well, I kind of have it, or I don't have a lot of it, it is a cultivation practice. And just as we've been talking about today, it is that devotion. It is setting that time up for yourself to cultivate that. It's a relationship. You have to cultivate and strengthen the relationship, because it's so worth it. It's so worth it to have that guidance that's always whispering in your ear and helping you. And even, like you said, the humor of spirit is just hands down the best.
It always blows me away. And people too, like when I would channel, they'd be like, they're funny. I'd be like, yes, because sometimes they would come in the beginning and they would go, ha, 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 ha. And they would make people laugh, because what does laughter do? It raises our vibration. You know, it's so important. And like I said before, we kind of forget that sometimes we take ourselves way too seriously. Laughter is the medicine, right, of the soul.
Yes, it truly is. Sarah, how can people find you? And yeah, what where can they find
yeah,
you?
Yeah, so I'm pretty active on social media. I have an Instagram, Asher Rose, Sarah Asher Rose. I'm on YouTube, Asher Rose Healing. I do offer a lot of great content on YouTube. I post three times a week there. And on Instagram, I have pretty much daily light code activations. And they can also, they can subscribe to my email list. They'll get light code activations and they'll be put on my email list and they can get notified every time I put new content out there. But if you sign up for my email list, you will get some free light code activations, MP3s that you can listen to change your vibration and help you have your own recall and remembering. It's kind of my gift to anyone who's watching.
I highly, yeah, recommend you guys check out Sarah's offerings and her light code activations. I mean, that's definitely something that you could use as a daily practice. She's on there a lot and you bring such a beautiful energy, Sarah, and your light codes are so beautiful, such high frequency. And so listeners, you know, this is something that you could do for your daily thing. It's a no-brainer, you know, just connect with Sarah, receive, just breathe into your body, open up and receive and trust that what's occurring, that what you're receiving is going to help you and activate you and open you and, you know, take you those steps closer to your human, superhuman self. Okay, so speaking of activation, it's time for our activation. Yum, yum, yum. It'll be probably even more powerful because we have Sarah here with us today, and this is her thing as well. So I always say that if you are, you know, driving your car, you might want to come back to this when you can give your full presence, but you can always listen. And you can always receive it and know that no matter what you feel, it's perfect. There's no expectation here. There's nothing that you need to feel or to experience for it to be happening, for it to be working. Just breathe into your bodies and receive and know that it is indeed helping you and raising your vibration, okay? So let's close our eyes. And first, just notice your breath. Breathe in through your nose and open your mouth. Let your breath out. Noticing and connecting to this beautiful system of breath. How your breath naturally moves in and out of your body. How your breath is always available. Your breath is always available. Your breath is always there. Yes, yes, yes. And as you're breathing in now, just go ahead and notice what you're sitting on, bringing your awareness to your pelvis and bringing your awareness to what you're sitting on and just breathing with your awareness there as we are calling yourself into your body. With each inhalation, you're drawing your awareness, drawing your presence into this moment. Exhaling, you're letting go, my love. Exhaling, you're letting go of any tension. Letting go of any tension. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Breathing in. And I want you to ask yourself for a color that signifies to you your superhuman self right here in this moment. Trust the first color that comes in. You may see it, you may hear it, you may feel it, you may just simply know it. Trust that color. And we're going to start setting the intention that now you are breathing this color into your body. With each inhalation, that color that's unique to you, that color that represents your unique superhuman is now drawing into your body and drawing into every single cell of your being. Exhaling, you are releasing. Exhaling, you are letting go of any resistance. Exhaling, you are letting go of any beliefs, any thoughts, any structures that no longer serve you. Inhale, you receive, my love. Receive your breath into your body. Yes, yes, yes. Beautiful. I want you to keep focusing on inhaling and receiving, exhaling, letting go. I'm going to bring in some sound. Just breathe and listen. Mm-hmm. Nice deep breath into your body, activating you, my love, activating you in your superhuman remembrance, activating you in your superhuman intelligence, activating in your superhuman wisdom, in your superhuman connection, and your superhuman intuitive channels of information and guidance, activating in your superhuman love and presence. Yes, yes, yes. Three nice deep cleansing breaths in through the nose, out through the mouth. Yes, 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 and so it is, and so it is, and so it is. By the perfection of three, the divine trinity, it is complete. Aho. I invite you to notice that color that you saw. Notice how that comes into your life. Notice where you see that color and just kind of breathe into that moment and pay attention and receive it, because spirit is always bringing those colors back around to us. Sarah, my love, thank you so much for being here with me today.
It was very beautiful. I loved it.
I honor so much your presence and your beautiful energy. When I first connected with Sarah, I could just immediately feel her vibration and her energy and her light. So I honor you, my love, in all that you have done to reach this superhuman version of you and all that's to come in your expansion.
Thank you. I'm so glad we connected.
And as always, I invite you guys to reach out to Sarah to connect to her. Get on her Instagram, receive those light codes, share them with everybody. And as always, share this episode, subscribe, rate and review. Make sure that we're sharing this content with people that you think could really receive this information. And sometimes just share it anyways, because sometimes people are listening and you don't even realize that they're listening and they need this content. And thank you so much for joining me again for another episode of The Ecstatic Woman, and I will see you next week. Much love.
Thank you for being a part of The Ecstatic Women podcast. As you experience each new day, we want you to feel that you are capable of tapping into your inner wisdom and living your life ecstatically. If you want to be invited back to the next episode, just subscribe to our podcast. And if you need more information in the meantime, go to alarasage.com.